Hello, everybody. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. Great, great show for you today. Fantastic buzz in the NovaCare Complex today. We've got a lot to get to as the Eagles take another step towards Sunday and the Minnesota Vikings. First things first, when we enjoyed that game on Sunday, it was a historic day for LeSean McCoy. And of course, when there are historic days in the NFL, you have historic requests from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Some video for you. Eagles putting a box together of LeSean McCoy's uniform. It reached Canton, Ohio, and they promptly filmed the event.
All right, here's the LeSean McCoy jersey from this past weekend when he broke Steve Van Buren's rushing record for the Eagles, along with his cleats that he wore and his gloves from this past game.
All right, so that is on display along with the equipment from Nick Foles and his 7-touchdown day against the Oakland Raiders. Canton, Ohio certainly is spicing up its Eagles corner. Now, the Eagles, of course, have won 5 straight games, and I don't know how much it really matters, but Angelo Cataldi from 94 WIP has been delivering pecan pies to head coach Chip Kelly and pies, apple and pumpkin, to the coordinators on this coaching staff. And for the 6th straight week, Cataldi arrived at the NovaCare Complex. This time, we filmed the exchange.
6 straight wins with the pies. Can't lose pecan right here. Pecan pie power.
6 in a row.
Like these. Where are we getting these pies from?
Manna.
Manna Pie is a special organization. The money goes to charity. It's really a great charity and a good pie.
It is delicious.
And it's apparently very successful.
Yes, yes.
Keep it up.
Oh, there he is.
Thanks very much. Number 6. Freaking genius, you know that? What a game. What a game, Jim.
This is a genius. How you doing?
Keep it going, man.
All right, smiles all around there. And how about this? Nick Foles becomes the cover boy for the regional Sports Illustrated. That's the 19th time the Eagles have been on the cover of SI, and we'll talk about that as the week goes along. Nick, I'm sure we'll address that either today or tomorrow when he meets the media again. It looks good. Nick Foles and the Eagles offensive line in the Snow Bowl from Sunday, the big win over the Detroit Lions. Obviously, everybody now focused on the Vikings on Sunday in Minneapolis. And Bo Wolf has you caught up with today's headlines.
Thanks, Dave, and let's get to your headlines here on Eagles Live. Quarterback Nick Foles on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week. That is the 19th time that an Eagle has been featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Chip Kelly says he is not worried at all about anything getting to the head of Nick Foles. He also said he doesn't believe in the SI cover jinx. Nick Foles' partner in the backfield, LeSean McCoy, snubbed for the NFC Offensive Player of the Week award that went to Josh McCown, who accounted for 5 touchdowns for the Bears when they took out the Dallas Cowboys. But Shady, of course, set that single-game franchise rushing record with his 217 yards rushing against the Lions. He did not get the award. He still very well may win the FedEx Ground Player of the Week award. LeSean McCoy, of course, the league's leading rusher, and the guy who was in second is Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson still questionable to play this week on Sunday against the Eagles. Reports are that he is unlikely to play, but certainly we will never count out AP, really the contender with LeSean McCoy for best running back in the league right now. And as for the Eagles potentially setting up for a letdown game against the Vikings, of course, we all remember the last time the Eagles and Vikings played the Joe Webb game on a Tuesday night. Chip Kelly says he is not worried about his Eagles team overlooking the 3-9-1 Vikings. Chip Kelly said that as he was running off the field after the Eagles beat the Lions in the Snow Bowl, he had already turned the page to the Minnesota Vikings. Stay tuned later in the show. We end with live press conferences from LeSean McCoy and DeMeco Ryans right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, thank you very much, Bo. We've got a great show to get to. ESPN's Sal Palantonio visits us in studio. The voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, talks about Sunday's game against the Lions and just how remarkable it was to be in the broadcast booth for that epic game. We go deep in our Cover 2 segment talking about, among other things, offensive most valuable player. Who would you vote for? But first things first, head coach Chip Kelly stops by his weekly exclusive interview presented by Gatorade. That's next on Eagles Live. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Have you started shopping?
Just waiting for inspiration to strike. And there it is. Done.
Genius.
Give the gift of Dunkin' coffee. Get 3 pounds for $19.99. Only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 max, 6 chances, 5 cash buys, 4 big 4s, 3 daily numbers, 2 Mega Millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Nice sweater.
Thank you.
Festive.
You know it. Hey.
Wow.
I know, right?
I knitted it myself.
Get in the spirit with Dunkin's new Red Velvet Latte. Pick up any medium latte for just $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
I'm Chip Kelly, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Happy holidays to all you Eagles fans out there.
We welcome you inside our studio here at the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by Eagles head coach Chip Kelly, our exclusive one-on-one presented by Gatorade. The Eagles, 5 straight wins on the road this weekend at the Minnesota Vikings. And coach, this team has really come together very nicely. What are some of the characteristics that you've seen that you really like, that you've seen develop from this football team that you like?
You know, you like their work ethic. You like their attitude every day that they're here. They understand that we win because of our preparation. And it's a fun group to be around.
You've made some games, you've won some games here where you've had comebacks, you've had games where you've held teams off. You've made, it appears, some really smart and effective in-game adjustments. And I think fans kind of want to know, how do are in-game adjustments made, and how much importance do you place on them in winning games?
I think a lot of that's overblown. Is we're just, our players go out there and execute, and we get a bunch of good guys that understand the game, and you know, there's not a magic secret out there. It's just our players executing, understanding that a game is 60 minutes, it's not 30 minutes, and we'll keep fighting and plugging away, and hopefully by the end of the game, we've done enough to get us a W.
So we over-evaluate, dramatize the idea of making this change, that change?
I don't know what you guys do, so we just play football. So.
Well, for example, against Detroit, went from shotgun to under center, and it looked like that would be an in-game adjustment.
We're under center a lot. I think that's why I don't think people realize that. I mean, we've run a lot of plays from under center before that. So those are the things that I think people, well, that was a big in-game adjustment. We were under center a lot the game before. So it's part of what we do. It's just there's certain tools in your toolbox that you use in certain situations. Obviously, with the inclement weather and we bobbled a couple snaps. They lost a couple shotgun snaps. We dropped the shotgun snap. Then, you know, I don't think it's a big in-game adjustment. I think anybody on the sideline can say, hey, maybe we should take the ball underneath the center instead of being in the shotgun until the weather clears up.
Chip, along those lines, you know, as you've grown as a coach from when you started to now, are there coaches that you would credit that helped you kind of develop the in-game feel, the play calling, and kind of how to win football games? Are there guys who you learn from early in your career?
No, I think you learn from everybody, and I don't think there's one particular person you say, hey, this is the guy. You know, I think every single day is a learning experience. I can't tell you how much I'm learning right now just sitting listening with you. So you can take it from anybody, you know, and I think that's the probably the mistake that some people make is that I should listen to this person because he's really smart. I think you should listen to everybody and then formulate your own opinions based upon all the information that you gather.
A lot of music, noise at practice, and you've seen benefits on the road. Eagles have played very well on the road. Now you go into the Dome. Is this one of those games where you really feel that all this noise, all this distraction that you've tried to create at practice, the players eliminating all that, that this is where you finally see benefits?
Well, you just hope that your players understand the task at hand. The task at hand is the game itself, and you have to learn to block out anything that has no impact on the game. And we know how to function in our system with using a lot of hand signals and a lot of nonverbal communication, and that's a big part of it when you do go on the road and play in hostile environments that are loud, that shouldn't affect you if you have a system that's based upon nonverbal communication, and a lot of what we do is nonverbal communication, so I think we can handle it.
What is the kind of impact that Pat Shurmur's had on the offense? How have you guys worked together? What kind of role does he have in the week-to-week preparation?
I think Pat, like all the other coaches here, it doesn't matter what hat you wear when we sit down and game plan, whether it's offensively or defensively or special teams-wise, is that we collectively as a group, each staff, puts together a plan that we think our players can execute, and we let our players go out and play. And, Pat's knowledge and experience, he's an outstanding teacher, outstanding coach. He's got a lot of really, really good ideas, and he's had a huge impact on us.
Plus 10 in turnovers in this five-game winning streak, and in this world of analytics and numbers, where does the turnover ratio rank for you in terms of importance?
Well, it's a big part of the game, obviously, when you can stop the other team from advancing the ball down the field and give your team, an opportunity that they normally wouldn't get. If it just went back and forth and nobody turned it over, it would become a kicking game, and all of a sudden the field position drastically changes. So, we continue to preach takeaways on the defensive side of the ball and ball security on the offensive side of the ball, and it has a direct impact on the outcome of games.
Vikings have lost some tough games. Really tough game on Sunday in Baltimore. What have you seen from that football team?
A lot of talent. They've lost a couple really close games. I think four or five that have been less than 7 points. And that could obviously, you throw four or five win totals on there, and all of a sudden you got a team that's competing for their division title. They obviously have some standout players on the defensive side of the ball. Jared Allen's one of the top defensive linemen in the league. Robeson can play. Williams can play. They're solid at linebacker. Greenway's been there for a long time. They've got a young corner in Rhodes who's a really good player. Cook, the other corner, is a big physical corner. So they've got talent on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, you got Adrian Peterson and Toby Gerhart, two outstanding running backs. They've got three quarterbacks that have won in this league, in Castle and Ponder and Freeman. I don't know which one we're going to get. There's some diversity there. They're big at the wide receiver position. So, every week is a challenge in this league. And every team is talented in this league. And obviously you're going to their place, and they play very, very well at home. So it's a huge challenge for us this week.
You mentioned Jared Allen. I always like watching the best go against the best. So it's Jason Peters and Jared will see each other a lot. Mm-hmm. First of all, how's Jason come along this year after missing last season? Have you seen a lot of progression from him, improvement? And then that matchup is just – really a primetime matchup.
Yeah, Jason's been outstanding all year long, really dedicated in terms of coming back from the injury, worked extremely hard in the offseason, has been a warrior for us and playing every game and almost taking every snap for us up front. Talented, as athletic as any lineman in this league, and also real physical, got a great demeanor that goes with it. And then, for him to go against such a standout player like Jared, I think it'll be a fun matchup to watch on Sunday.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
That's you, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The Chairman Emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the Chief Life Officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding Scepter was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Foles on first down, fakes to McCoy. He rolls, he looks, he is firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! DeSean Jackson! Foles did a great job of biding his time and throw it to DeSean Jackson, who was open for a 19-yard touchdown. Foles gives it off to McCoy. He's got running room. Steps over a man. He's at the 20. He's at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown! J.D. McCoy! 40 yards! Foles on first down, comes back to McCoy. He's free. He's at the 40, 30. McCoy, he is going all the way! Touchdown, J.D. McCoy! This time, Foles is under center. Foles sneaks. And he's in! Touchdown! Foles. This is a memorable, memorable Eagles win. It was a gutsy, gritty, tough win that shows character and desire, and it is the fifth win in a row for this Eagles team, and those here at the stadium are on their feet.
In a winter wonderland, the comforting voice of the great Merrill Reese, who joins me inside the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Before we talk about the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday, Merrill, it is worth a look back from your perspective about a most extraordinary day in the booth, I'm sure, against the Detroit Lions.
Dave, I haven't had that much fun in the snow since the day when I was an eight-year-old. They told us school was canceled. I called up six guys. I came out to a vacant lot covered with snow, faked a handoff inside, ran around the corner for a touchdown, and rolled into the snow. I mean, right. it was just joyful, exuberant football. It was great.
It was an interesting mood at the stadium. I felt it was very almost jovial in the first quarter.
It was celebratory.
And then the game was kind of going the other way, and all of a sudden in the third quarter, everybody's looking and going, the Eagles are down 14-0. Uh-oh, we better get going here.
You know, I'll tell you the truth. When Detroit scored and then they converted the two-point conversion, I honestly thought, by watching this game, the way it was going, I said, you know what? 8 points could be enough to win this game. It could do it. And then, of course, we talked about the comeback in the second half and after the Eagles tied it with the two-point conversion, and it's 14-14. And 10 seconds later, we're looking at Jeremy Ross return a kickoff 99 yards. I'm thinking, well, that's going to break their backs. But it didn't. It didn't. They won this one going away.
Yeah, and again, Merrill, this team overcoming some obstacles and winning a football game, finding a way in December to win a critical football game, which changes everything now. I mean, 8-5, the Dallas Cowboys on Monday night getting blown out by the Chicago Bears, the Eagles in sole possession of first place. We've talked about that all week. How do the Eagles handle prosperity?
I hope they handle it the way that Chip Kelly handles everything. And Chip Kelly says, don't tell me about what Dallas did. Don't tell me about wins and losses. Just keep your head to the grindstone. Look down. Look at, focus on Minnesota. Focus on the next opponent. Because we know that if you go by the last great comeback, and that was the Miracle 2 at the Meadowlands on December 19th, 2010, the very next game was the postponed game with the Vikings.
Yes.
A not good Vikings team that became Tuesday Night Football. Favre was out. In came Joe Webb. And we know the rest of that story.
Right. And that was the downfall, really, from that point forward for the Philadelphia Eagles for the next couple of seasons. Merrill, this team is different. This team is younger. Mm-hmm. This team is very well equipped in any circumstance, obviously, to play good football. Let's talk about the Eagles' offense in a dome on Sunday against a young Vikings defense that has given up some big plays, but they battle. I would expect the Vikings to try to take away number 25. Easier said than done, as we've learned.
Yeah, I don't think that's an easy thing for anybody to do because he's an amazing player. Shady McCoy, it's not surprising to me that he broke the record of Van Buren because I thought at some point Shady's going to have one of those games that involves two large runs of 40, 50 yards and then pick up the rest of the yards as he goes along. So that doesn't surprise me. What meant so much to me in this game as I watch it is I will make the statement that we learned more about Nick Foles in this game than we did in the game in Oakland in which he threw seven touchdown passes because he faced adversity, because he came off a bad first half where he threw an interception. He played in the worst possible conditions, and he came back and guided this team. He was the captain moving this team, navigated this team through the bad weather and through the Lions, and made the plays through the passes he had to throw. He was unflappable. He was poised. He was the consummate professional starting quarterback, and that's what he showed. People used to say, what's he going to do when he has to take them from behind? He not only took them from behind, he took them from behind against an opponent and the elements.
Merrill, as we speak, we don't know about Adrian Peterson, the injury of the right foot sprain. It appears that it will be a long shot for him to play in this game, which is fine. I mean, Toby Gerhardt's a good player.
I understand. Like somebody just told me that Toby Gerhardt pulled a hamstring at the end of that game, too.
Yeah, but that's the expectations that Gerhardt will be the point is, Adrian Peterson maybe not playing. Is that disappointing to you? Do you want to see the best play against the best?
I guess you could say that I love to see the stars of the National Football League. But when you're going through a season with this team, this is a war of attrition. And you want the Eagles, from an Eagles standpoint, you want them to have every advantage that you can possibly have. I mean, I go back to a lot of games where the Eagles won against teams that didn't have their stars. And I can think of the Eagles in important games where their stars were injured,
right,
where they played without their best and lost because of it. So from an Eagles standpoint, I want them to have every possible advantage. And if Adrian Peterson's out, I was not disappointed when we were in Green Bay to see that Aaron Rodgers was on the sideline. That didn't disappoint
me. Aaron Rodgers could play on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys.
Let's go Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, really the scenario is set up for just an absolutely fascinating Sunday. And I admit it that I'm scoreboard watching, and I'm sure out of the corner of your eye from the broadcast booth, you're going to keep an eye on all these scores around the league.
Well, of course. That's part of the stretch drive. But when you're talking about football, that's the thing about every week. Week one of the season, we want to know what the Dallas Cowboys, the Washington Redskins, and the New York Giants are doing, particularly. And if there's another upset around the league, we raise our eyebrows and can't wait to come home and see what's up for Sunday night. So that's the beauty of the National Football League. But especially this week, because the goal, and I hear people say, wouldn't it be great to see the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys go at it on week 17 for all the marbles? And my feeling is, if you can tell me that at whatever time that game ends, the Eagles will have clinched the NFC East and would have beaten the Dallas Cowboys, I would have said, yeah, that was great to see them win it all on the last day. But as I sit here now, my wish is that the Eagles play that game and it means nothing except maybe playoff seeding. I'd like to see the Eagles play the Cowboys at Cowboys Stadium with a two-game lead.
Merrill, from your lips.
Merrill, that's how I feel.
Yeah, let's just beat the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday, and we'll see what happens.
I think we are neutral. I think we are objective in the way you and I evaluate a game. When the Eagles play badly, we say they play badly. When Dez Bryant makes a great catch, it's a great catch, and we will not describe it any differently. But if you're asking how we feel, we care about this football team like you care about this football team, and we want them to win, and we want them to have every advantage.
Yeah, well, let's start it
on Sunday.
Football,
right?
Keep it going in Minnesota. The Eagles looking for six straight wins, and it's continuing. The streak continues in Minnesota on Sunday. Merrill Reesby, thank you.
Thank you.
For joining us here in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. You make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Happy holidays, Eagles fans.
All right, welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you, Eagles Live, the name of the show. Got a lot to get to in this one, so sit back and relax. Enjoy your lunch break, and let's rock and roll with the Philadelphia Eagles. Give us a call. We're taking your predictions and your conversation. 215-339-6709 is the telephone number, and fun times here with Philadelphia Eagles. We've got a little bit to take a look at with the practice. It's a lot of snow on the ground, right? I mean, there's all this snow. It's not going to be snowing in Minnesota. That's the first of three games remaining in this regular season as we take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, presented powered by Ticketmaster for the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets. Visit NFL.com/Ticket Exchange. We've got the Vikings. We've got that flexed game against the Chicago Bears now. That's an 8:30 game from Lincoln Financial Field. Primetime game number three for the Eagles. And then the regular season wraps up at the Dallas Cowboys. We've kind of all gone along here with the idea that this was going to be the game to decide the NFC East. I guess now the question is, will it? Will the Cowboys beat the Packers? Will the Eagles beat the Vikings? Will the Cowboys go to Washington and beat Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins? Will the Eagles come home and beat the Bears? Eagles hold a one-game lead in the NFC East. Crazy times, wonderful times at One NovaCare Way. 215-339-6709. We're taking a look at practice in the bubble on this very cold day in Philadelphia. It's going to be noisy on Sunday, of course, in Minnesota. The Eagles trying to replicate that noise in practice this week. They've done it for many practices since Chip Kelly was here, eliminating distractions. All right, let's go to the phones. Ariel in Dallas joins us. Hey, Ariel.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
Doing well. It's just kind of hard to be an Eagles fan in Dallas. My whole family.
Not these days, it's not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we're doing good right now. I like the way our defense is playing. I just like all the way that all our young players on defense are, like, just coming together and playing as a team, you know?
Yeah. It's a really good point. The young players have matured very quickly, very nicely. And I think what's great, Ariel, is that everybody on the roster is contributing here. So we take a look at the linebackers and some of their drills prior to practice here and the warm-up phase of practice. I think the roster's really come a long, long way.
Yeah, and it's just getting better and better every week. I mean, we have a really good future ahead of us, too.
Excellent.
All coming together.
What's your prediction for Sunday?
I think the Eagles are just going to pretty much win big here. Probably like 42-14, I say.
42-14. Ariel, thank you very much for the telephone call. Hang in there. We'll see you in Dallas, brother, in 2.5 weeks. Well, Fort Worth. That's where we stay. And then the game's in Arlington, and you know the whole routine. 215-339-6709. Although I honestly will tell you, I don't know where the Eagles will stay on the road. I never know until we get there. Indoor practice at NovaCare. The bubble today. Likely the rest of the season, unless it warms up and dries out. A lot more snow predicted even this weekend in Philadelphia. Wes in Atlanta joins us. Hey, Wes.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good.
I got to tell you, I've never been so happy to have been so wrong. So let me explain that.
Yes, right? Please do.
I knew that the offense would be great, and I thought that it would be better under Vic than Foles. I was incorrect, and I'm happy about it. I always liked Foles, but I thought, you know, with 7 speed, it would be a little better. The other part was the defense. So top to bottom, right, new coordinator, new scheme, all starting the 4 starters on our defensive line, gone. The linebackers, they were in flux. The entire secondary was a change. So I thought at least a full season before they got it together. Completely wrong about that. So happy about that as well. They really just bought into the system quickly, and I got to tell you, I can't put it on anything but the coaching. You know, to be able to gel a group like this is just it's awesome. Really.
Yeah, I think the way the coaching staff, Wes, has reached at a very early juncture here, these players and improved players. We see Earl Wolfe on the practice field, by the way. That's really a good thing to see.
Great sign.
You look at somebody like Nate Allen, who has really been inconsistent since the Eagles drafted him. He played well until he hurt his knee late in that rookie season. And then indecision, a bit of tentativeness, lack of consistency in his technique, missed tackles, the result. This year he's been solid. And I credit coaching there. I credit coaching, and I credit Nate for working hard. So that's just one example. You can go up and down the roster position by position, and this coaching staff has done a really good job finding out what these players do well and then giving them a chance to make plays in game situations. Riley Cooper, another great example, a backup wide receiver, a lot of special teams. All of a sudden he's averaging 19.3 yards per catch. Who would have ever thought that Riley Cooper would be so impactful, and that the Eagles, I remember being on a show early in the year, and somebody said that the loss of Jeremy Maclin would be catastrophic to the Eagles' offense.
Right.
And as much as I miss Jeremy Maclin, I think he's a great player, his loss has not been catastrophic.
And the talk was Riley Cooper was a fourth receiver at best. Without Maclin, we were supposed to be looking for a free agent out there, and there were a couple names that were tossed around. But, you know, the coaching staff saw something in Cooper that I think the rest of us didn't see. For me, the image of Riley Cooper had been his rookie year, 2010, that pass by Vic in the end zone that the defender
against the Packers, right.
And I had always thought he should have come back and defended against that. And that was sort of my Riley Cooper moment. And now, you know, I've got a lot more of those things.
Sure. Now if that pass is thrown, Riley Cooper's coming back and muscling his way to make the catch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Quickly, I'll give you a score, and then I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead. Fire away.
So the score for me is probably 35-17, Bird.
Okay. Go ahead.
And the question is with Vic. Now, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, but we've got what looks to be our quarterback of the future, 1,000 years, according to Kelly.
Yeah.
So with Vic, I would love to still have him there. You know, you keep him as an option. You keep him as a serviceable backup. If with his age and his injuries, you know, I don't know that another team out there looks at him as a viable option for their future. So I'm wondering if, you know, we pay him what, with his years in the league, his minimum is actually probably a little bit bigger than most folks. But do you keep him around?
Thanks for the call, Wes. That's a question, obviously, to be answered later. But I think I would have told you the last year in December that no way Michael Vick comes back after that loss to the Giants and the way he kind of just questioned the commitment from his teammates, I thought clean house and Michael Vick would be gone. But he came back, played well, got hurt, been an outstanding backup, been a great team player. Could you have him as a backup next year? Absolutely. This great quarterback class in the 2014 draft, maybe not so great after all, with so many of these prospects opting to stay in school. You look around the league, are there veterans who would fit in here better than Michael Vick? I don't know. A second year with him in the system, he's obviously got the physical skills to make it work. He's understanding of the role here. He's very supportive of Nick. They have a great relationship. It's a decision to be made after the season, and it is certainly a possibility. Not ruling it out at all. All right, let's throw it over now to cover two. And we've got Jeff Mosher and Tim McManus, who discuss, obviously, what happened on Sunday against Detroit. And talk a little bit about the MVP of this 2013 Eagles offense.
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to our Cover 2 segment here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're going to recap the win over the Lions and look ahead to the matchup with Minnesota. And I brought in two of the best in the business covering the Eagles, Jeff Mosher from Comcast Sportsnet and Tim McManus from the Birds 24/7 blog on Philadelphia Magazine's website. Jeff, we'll start with you here. Looking at the Snow Bowl, certainly an incredible experience for Eagles fans. For you covering it, what was the most impressive aspect of this Eagles' big win?
The ability to adjust. I mean, it seemed like in the first half, Chris, that they weren't ready to play in the snow and that the Lions were. And that was confusing because the Lions are a dome team and the Eagles are an outdoor team, obviously. And then for them to turn it around in the second half and Chipperly to find the magic formula and the running game to get going. And as soon as they got going, it seemed like the Lions didn't want any of it. And that was, to me, what was really impressive about it, especially knowing that nobody thought the snow was coming until the second half.
Tim, most impressive aspect in your estimation?
Well, Sean McCoy, how was he able to do that? I was trying to figure it out, and the guys in the locker room, they're saying that we didn't have anybody chasing us, and we weren't trying to do the kind of moves that LeSean was doing, and we were falling down on our rear ends half a dozen times. Like, how was he able to stay up and shift and jump and move and all these kind of different things? It was amazing to watch. I mean, for a player to have a career day in those kind of elements was just something that's, you know, going to go down in Eagles history.
I went to parlay off that. I went back and watched the tape. It's not like the Lions were completely getting blown off the ball. There were very small crevices that LeSean turned into really long runs, and to accentuate his point, how did he do that? I mean, it looked like he was playing with a different set of feet than everybody else.
All right, let's talk about LeSean McCoy here. 217 rushing yards, franchise record. You have Nick Foles, who's had an outstanding season. He did throw his first interception, but played strongly nonetheless. Who has been the offensive MVP for the season, Jeff? Would you go with LeSean McCoy, or would you go with the quarterback, Nick Foles?
Can I say Jason Peters? Honestly,
great. Yeah.
I mean,
option C here. Certainly.
Yeah, for the guy to have had the Achilles injury and then also to play from probably weeks 1 through 6, ever since he dislocated his finger against the Redskins, then he played with a pectoral injury, then a head injury. For him to do what he's done, I think he's the anchor to what LeSean McCoy has done, and also keeping Nick Foles. If you notice, when Nick Foles is in, he doesn't get sacked hardly ever. I think you got to consider Jason Peters as a guy as an unsung MVP of this team.
Very strong. How about you, Tim?
Look at you weaseling out of that. I'm going with McCoy. And I think that what Foles has done is tremendous, and you need one to have the other. And so there is some symmetry with that relationship. But in order for Foles to do what he has done, he needs to have the kind of emphasis on the run that the Eagles have had, and to have one of the best players in the league in LeSean McCoy kind of at his disposal. If you look at what defenses are doing, they are really king on the run. They're bringing the extra safety down when they do the zone reads. They're crashing down on the backside, and all this is allowing one-on-one matchups on the outside, and Foles is taking advantage of them, which you have to give him all the credit in the world for. But if there's no LeSean McCoy and if there's no emphasis on the run game, then I think we'd be seeing very different things in the passing game.
All right, gentlemen, the Eagles have won 5 straight games. They are now in first place all by themselves in the NFC East, and they travel this weekend to take on a Minnesota team that is so far out of the playoff picture. It doesn't look like they're going to have Adrian Peterson. Tim, I'll start with you. Is this a trap game for the Philadelphia Eagles?
You always have to be worried about that kind of thing, especially when, all right, so this Minnesota team doesn't have a whole lot to play for. So, all right, let's burst somebody else's bubble. That's always a possibility. And going on the road to a dome is never an easy task. But I will say that on the Eagles' behalf that you don't see them getting too up and down this year, do you? I mean, it's the same thing after a win, after a loss, you go in and they're self-critical or they don't give themselves too much praise. Kelly, I think, has done a really nice job of keeping them even keeled. So I don't worry about them psychologically bailing out of this game.
Yeah, and off that, you know, it's not like the Eagles are a bunch of champions. Sometimes you worry about the complacency with an established team that's won a lot and just kind of, you know, starts taking other teams by, you know, lightly because they know they're so good. As Tim mentioned, this team doesn't get high on itself. I mean, they've never won anything, but most of them. So, and half of the guys are under 24 years old. So I think they take every game as a great opportunity. And when Minnesota doesn't have Adrian Peterson, I would have said maybe that's a tough game. But now I'm not thinking so much.
Certainly, gentlemen. And the guys who have been here for a few years, going back to 2010, just remember the Tuesday night football game against Minnesota with Joe Webb, if you need to recall anything else about taking the Minnesota Vikings lightly. For Tim and Jeff, I'm Chris McPherson. Thank you very much for joining us here in our Cover 2 segment on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Make sure to stay tuned for complete coverage and a preview of the Vikings showdown throughout the week right here.
All right, great stuff there, guys. When we return to Eagles Live, ESPN's Sal Palantonio in studio. Are the Eagles at 8-5 for real? We'll hear from Sal Pal next.
Have you started shopping?
Just waiting for inspiration to strike. And there it is. Done.
Genius.
Give the gift of Dunkin' coffee. Get 3 pounds for $19.99. Only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 match fix chances, 5 cash buys, 4 big 4s, 3 daily numbers, 2 Mega Millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Nice sweater.
Thank you.
Festive.
You know it. Hey.
Wow.
I know, right?
I knitted it myself.
Get in the spirit with Dunkin's new Red Velvet Latte. Pick up any medium latte for just $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
Big week here at the NovaCare Complex. All of the, well, one of the big-time national broadcasters is here, and that's the only one that we care about. Our good buddy Sal Palantonio from ESPN here. Always love seeing you, Sal, because you give us such great perspective on the track of this Eagles season, which is going up.
All right, so let's pull back the lens and really look at the big picture. When you look at this football team, within the confines of the 12 teams that would now qualify for the playoffs, this is the only team with a rookie head coach. This is the only team that's had any kind of instability at the quarterback position. Among the 12 teams that would qualify right now, they're the only team that has started more than one quarterback. So that, to me, David, is a great testament to this coaching staff and to this organization. Very few teams survive changing quarterbacks midstream and then go on to qualify for the playoffs. Now, the Eagles are not in yet, but they're in a position to do that, where many other teams have fallen by the wayside that have had problems at quarterback.
What is Chip? Give me 3 things that have really impressed you about what Chip has done here.
Authenticity. I think that's number one. And that you can feel it at the press conferences and in talking to him. And I'm sure the same personality is on display to his players and his coaching staff. Sincerity and authenticity. 2, adaptability. And that was really apparent in the game against the Detroit Lions in the snow. 2 specific things. 1, he changed formations on offense and decided to really take advantage of the double teams in the interior on the offensive line with his formation change. really allow Jason Kelce to dictate in the middle of the line of scrimmage so that they could run that zone read in the middle. And the second thing was Billy Davis brilliantly saying, hey, D-line, get your cleats on the ground, hold your ground, let the linebackers play, don't fire off the ball, we don't have footing. And you saw the Lions try to fire off the ball, and their aggressiveness and explosion was used against them in that football game. So I would say sincerity and adaptability. And I think the third thing is he's smart.
Yeah, he really hired a darn good coaching staff. Nice mix of those with NFL experience and college coaches, and they've really reached the players. So you see it all around the league where players and coaches not on the same page. In a first year here, it's been remarkable how they've all come together.
Yeah, and it's not only Chip. I mean, let's go your quarterback's coach, yeah. Bill Lazor. I mean, phenomenal young coach, maybe a future head coach in the NFL, not too distant future. Bill Davis, if the Eagles make the playoffs and this defense continues to improve the way they're improving, he's going to be on a lot of lists of people who want to look at a head coach next season.
Yeah.
So as an arrow, I mean, terrific coach coming right out of college. He's done a great job with the D-line. So you go up and down. The guys that he's brought here, they've done a really good job. Going back to Bill Davis, you look at this Eagles defense. For weeks 1 through 4, they were 31st in the league in points allowed.
Right.
They're now 13th in the league in points allowed.
Right.
Everybody knows the number. 9 straight weeks of 21 points or less they've given up. And they've gone 8 straight games without giving up any points on the first possession.
Yeah. So they're not falling into holes.
That means they're well prepared, yeah. Right, going in. That's a team that's prepared going in onto the football game on Sunday morning.
Sal, the Eagles, in the past, we have seen this team, this franchise, maybe not handle prosperity at times as well as it could have. This is a week where first place, Cowboys get blown out Monday night, Minnesota Vikings with or without Adrian Peterson, young team here, everybody talking about great things about this football team. I think it's a wonderful chance to see the focus, the mental strength, the toughness, and the urgency in a prosperous time.
There's no question. What's the one thing you hear from coaches all around the National Football League, David, week in and week out? How do we recalibrate the emotions? How do we get the team to turn the next page to the next week? It's very difficult to do, especially because Sunday was a special day. Sunday was an historic day. There's still a buzz. These guys are human. They can listen to the radio. They could turn on the TV. They read the news. They talk to their neighbors and their friends. And all anybody's talking about is the game of the century at Lincoln Financial Field. So how do they recalibrate for the Minnesota Vikings, a team that is probably going to be without their best player? They're playing in a dome. Everybody's going to say, all right, well, it's a letdown game, blah, 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 blah. How do they do that? I don't know. This will be one of the toughest coaching challenges, I think, for this team.
Sal, your thoughts on Nick Foles' big picture with a second-year quarterback?
I was asked by a guy I respect, what is the one thing that Nick Foles does above the mean better than just about any other quarterback in the league or young quarterback in the league? I really thought about that for a second, David. I'm like, well, you know, there's nothing he does really spectacularly, or he does a lot of things very, very good. Some things excellent, and some things good enough to win the ball game. But I would say above the mean, his composure.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been great.
His makeup.
Yeah.
Right? This is a guy who you trust, who's coachable to the next thing.
Yeah, Sal, well, it's been a remarkable ride so far. Let's see how the Eagles finish things
five
out.
5 in a row.
Starting in Minnesota on Sunday. Sal, thanks so much. Sal Palantonio in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
That dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
Every hospital needs great nurses.
They're not easy to attract.
But at Jefferson, we've got a magnet.
Magnet recognition for nursing excellence.
A distinction less than 7% of all hospitals earn.
And it's hardly the only way.
Our nursing excellence has been recognized. So if you're wondering how Jefferson ends up with such great nurses, the answer is,
we've got pull.
Discover the difference Jefferson nurses make. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
All right, we welcome you back. Dave Spadaro, Eagles Live. We're waiting for D'Amico Ryans, LeSean McCoy to have their press conferences. Word from Minnesota, Leslie Frazier, head coach, naming Matt Cassel as the starting quarterback for Sunday's game against the Eagles. Cassel playing very well on Sunday against Baltimore, so he gets to start against the Eagles. And also reports that Adrian Peterson will practice on Friday, that he's out of a walking boot. Neither Peterson nor Toby Gerhart practice today with the Vikings, so obviously we'll keep you up to date with that. We'll wait for the press conference. Also, after the press conferences, the at Eagles Shows on Twitter has gone over the 2,000 followers mark. So we've got the winner to name, and we're going to give away a very sweet piece of Eagles merchandise. So stay tuned for that. Let's go to Chip Kelly, who had a press conference this morning. A little bit of the best of Chip from this morning.
I have no idea what that is. I literally have nothing to do with the music. I thought it was the horn from Anchorman, so. Remember when he asked for his guys, right? And they were all standing right next to him?
That's what, that thing like
crazy. Yeah, I have a conch shell. Yeah, I went conch shell. I have no idea. Our guy TJ does all that, so I'm not concerned with it. Nick's a great teammate, and he's a very, very unselfish player. And I think what he realizes and what everybody realizes is that for you to be successful, you need the people around you. And it's everybody contributing to the common goal. And I think, you know, that's kind of pervasive throughout our team now. And I think our guys understand that it is the team. You know, when someone sees you and says, hey, you play, you know, they ask you what your record is. They don't ask you what your individual statistics are. And we don't spend a lot of time, nor do we ever talk about individual statistics or individual awards. We're just a one-week operation. So, you know, I literally was thinking of the Vikings game running off the field on Sunday. So, you know, it's what's our next opportunity to go out and see where we are as a team. And, you know, that's what this deal's all about. I think the teams that are mentally tough can work their way through it, and I think we got a mentally tough group. I enjoy the process. I'm not a results guy. I mean, I enjoyed the game. I enjoyed our energy. I enjoyed our enthusiasm. I enjoyed pregame. I enjoyed how the game was going on. But then what's the next step? You know, we did that. Let's go on. Let's win. You know, let's see what the next challenge and the next opportunity is for us. But I don't think life has a rearview mirror, you know, so I'm not a big guy that looks back. I always look forward, so. I do that from that's just a personal standpoint. I want to know what the next challenge is. The next challenge is a really good Vikings team, and that's what excites me. So I don't spend a lot of time looking back at what happened yesterday, the day before, all those other things. That's just the way I kind of were wired. This is what I do. I love coaching. And so, coach, what's the next opportunity to coach? So,
sure. All right, that's Chip Kelly. Now, again, Matt Cassel to start at quarterback for the Vikings this year. He's got 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, completed 59% of his passes. On Sunday against the Ravens, 2 touchdown passes. He also started the game before that against Chicago, 20 of 33, a touchdown, an interception. Not a mobile player, a veteran, 31 years of age. He's been in the league for some time here, let's see, for 9 years. And he is not going to be surprised by what the Eagles do in terms of their defensive pressure packages. Now, Leslie Frazier, Vikings head coach, held a conference call with some Philadelphia reporters this morning before the announcement of Matt Cassel as the quarterback. Let's check in with the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings.
He came out of the boot yesterday, and he's going to do some work with our trainers today, and we'll probably know more about his status tomorrow when we try to work on land. Toby strained his hamstring in our game against Baltimore, so we'll know a little bit more about him as the week goes on. He won't do anything today. They a challenging offense. I mean, they, very up-tempo offense, give you a lot of different looks. Tackling that running back is probably the biggest challenge. He's a very good back. That seems to be more of a problem than the actual offense. But the thing that distinguishes him from my perspective is how shifty he is. I see so many players in position to make plays to tackle him, and they miss. He is very elusive. And so even if you got people in the right place, he seems to be able to find a way to make positive yards. So that can present problems as you're trying to get a lot of people to the football. And he's, not only is he quick, he's fast also. But he's a very good back, very good back. He seems to be an accurate passer. He's not turned the ball over. Seems to be very comfortable with the offense and orchestrating it and has a great command. But he's playing with a lot of poise. He knows when to tuck the ball and run. He knows when to throw the ball away and not take sacks. But the biggest thing is the fact that he's not turned the ball over. And then he has a back who he can hand it off to and make some great plays for him. So he's doing a very, very good job.
Good guy, that Leslie Frazier, who used to coach here in Philadelphia. What about Adrian Peterson, injured on Sunday against the Ravens, out of a walking boot? Now, Peterson optimistic that he'll play, but Frazier saying after the conference call with the Philadelphia Reporter that he was more optimistic that Toby Gerhart would play than Adrian Peterson. But we all know how AP heals so quickly, and I'm sure with LeSean McCoy coming to town, Adrian pretty excited to go up against one of the very best and, in fact, the leading rusher in the NFL. So he will test that sprained right foot in Friday's practice, see how he feels. The Vikings really kind of banged up in this game. They've got some injuries. Peterson day-to-day. Gerhart did not practice today. Neither did Peterson. Xavier Rhodes and Fusco, their starting right guard, they are both day-to-day. John Carlson out with a concussion to this point, has not been cleared for practice. And Kyle Rudolph, their excellent tight end, is on IR. Young talent there. A lot of firepower for the Vikings, potentially not playing in this game. So we will see as we monitor throughout the week the state of the Minnesota Vikings, a team not to be overlooked. Please do not overlook this team. Matt Cassel starts at the quarterback position. Let's make sure that everybody is forgetting about Sunday and moving on to this game on Sunday. Let's take a phone call. Kenny in the Bronx joins us. Hey, Kenny, what's going on, brother?
Dave, what's going on, man?
Everything's good, man. You got a prediction for me?
Yep.
What do you got?
I'm 35-13.
Why such a blowout?
You know why, Dave? I felt like, we're a well prepared team.
Yep.
And I know Minnesota have a lot of injury, but I just feel like we're the better team. I felt like, this team is so focused. We're not gonna let the fans down. We just on the roll right now, and I just love the way everything, the chemistry. I just love the way everything is going, man. And I just think that we're gonna dominate, man. These last three games, and I think we're gonna make a lot of noise, Dave. I think we're gonna make a lot of noise.
Do not worry about, quote, overlooking this Minnesota Vikings team?
Absolutely not, because I just feel like the coaching staff, the team is just so focused right now. I see it when I watched the game on Sunday, man. I was focused on Sunday. My voice was gone, but, man, I just feel like we're so focused. We're not going to overlook them. I think we're going to blow them out and we're going to move on to the next game.
Hey, Kenny, Adrian Peterson factor. What are you thinking with him? You want to see him? You don't want to see him?
No, you know what? And I was listening to Mero. I want to see Adrian Peterson because I want to. It touches our defense. It touches Vinny Logan and, Vinny Curry. And, I want to see where we at. So, in the playoffs, you don't worry about things like that. I want to see these Vikings with Adrian Peterson on the field.
Okay. Well, you may get your wish.
Yeah, we're going to win.
You see. We'll see you, Kenny. Thanks. Interesting, though. I mean, this is a player with just incredible recuperative powers who in a normal situation you'd be thinking, well, he's going to miss a game, maybe two games. And now Adrian Peterson expected to at least try to practice on Friday. Could be a smokescreen. I don't think the defense changes its approach, whether it's Peterson, Gerhart, both players, good running backs, and the Eagles know that it's a run-based offense, and If you're going to contain the Vikings offense, you better slow down the run. Let's take a quick call before we get to D'Amico Ryans and the press conference there. Let's go to Doug in Connecticut. Doug joins us. Hi, Doug.
What's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm definitely not overlooking these guys. I mean, my question is, you know, how is their line playing? How's their offensive line playing? And who's their third running back?
They have one other player on the roster. I got to look that up, to be honest with you. But it's not anything. There's no threat other than Gerhardt or Peterson. They've got excellent wide receivers with Jennings and Simpson and Patterson. Their tight ends are good. They just haven't had the good play at the quarterback position. The offensive line's pretty good. It's you know, if you are not getting good play at the quarterback position, what are you going to do? That's the problem.
I just have so much more confidence in our defense, our tackling. You know, the way we're playing. I don't know. Is Earl Wolfe going to come back anytime soon? You know.
Who's that?
Earl Wolfe.
Earl Wolfe is practicing. Hey, let's give me a quick prediction. We got Shady McCoy meeting the media.
27-10.
All right, thank you very much. Let's go to LeSean McCoy meeting the media.
Especially this year, you've had your best numbers in the fourth quarter. What do you attribute that to? Do you feel like you get stronger and you kind of get the feel for defense?
I feel like when I get in that type of zone, I think late in the game, if I'm fed the ball enough, I feel like I get stronger as the game goes on. So that's something I've been doing since college. I feel like late in the game, especially if it's close, you know, I feel more, I don't want to say aggressive, but I just want to take the game over.
Is it different this year where you feel like if you're producing early, you're going to keep getting fed the ball where maybe in the past you didn't?
I'm not sure. I think Chip does a great job of just getting the guys in the backfield, you know, myself, the ball enough, no matter if it's running the ball or catches or screens. So late and early, he does a good job with that.
In playing the Vikings, Coach Chip Kelly was saying today.
Chip Kelly.
I'm trying to get it out. There's not a prompter for him on the mess. He's trying to figure out, like, as soon as he walks off the field, he was thinking about Minnesota. For you, have you had a second to enjoy this game and what you accomplished, or are you already thinking about Minnesota when you walked off that field?
Just the last, I think, five games, we've been focusing on that opponent that week. The biggest thing we stress each week is just, whatever game, whatever opponent we do have, let's just be 1-0, you know, that week. Not looking at down the line for the Cowboy game or our record. We just want to keep winning and control our own destiny.
Did you enjoy what you just did?
I mean, not really. I think breaking the record was definitely something special. And that day, I definitely enjoyed it. But I moved on. Came to work the same way the next day. This week, started off the same way I did last week. So. Nothing has changed. And this league is all about what have you done for me lately. And, man, lately I think is this week against Minnesota.
Adrian Peterson might not be out there. I mean, were you kind of looking forward to, you know, a healthy guy being out there and, you know, both of you guys kind of showcasing?
Yeah, for sure. I think just, I mean, he's one of the best backs, you know, that ever played his game, I think. And I think the last couple of years he's been – very consistent, put numbers up, and his play speaks for itself. So even when we seen Minnesota on the schedule, you know, my eyes got big, and I felt like it was a chance to, you know, go one-on-one with one of the best backs. But you always want to compete and go against one of the elite guys in the NFL. You know, but the big challenge is really just going to Minnesota and getting the win. We have a lot we're playing for, and it's a big game. And hopefully he's healthy, and he does play. I think it's a nice challenge for our team. And also for myself, I think one-on-one battle. But it's another tool, I think, something to put on the bulletin board just to go out and play hard.
And so where do you think you rank among those top running backs?
I definitely think I'm in the top five, top three, I feel like.
What else you put up there?
Hey, that's some good backs. God for Notion, number one. AP, got to say – right now, for sure, last couple years. That's how I look at last 3 years, 4 years. Got to put AP up there. You can name down the list from Jamaal Charles. Frank Gore's another guy that's been doing it consistently. You know, and I like Lynch, too. So it's a lot of different guys. I can name. I like to go in order. I just like to give you a couple guys to think about, some of the elite guys. Arian Foster, even though he's banged up, he's still in there, one of the better backs.
What would you have to do to be number one in your mind? Do you have to have like three straight All-Pro? Like, what would you have to do?
I mean, that's being my fifth year. I mean, this, I think the last 3 years, these next 4 years, you know, but last year I didn't make All-Pro. The year before that I made All-Pro. So just being consistent, putting numbers up, winning games, being consistent. That's the only thing you really can go off of in production and what you see on tape.
There's so many different running backs who you mentioned there. In considering the best ones, what do you look at? What are the attributes that that the top guys have?
What makes you special? You know, guys that have a pretty good offensive line, so they'll get yards. But what else do you do special? Is he a shifty back? Does he run you over? Can he catch? Can he run routes? Is he a matchup mismatch for other defenders? So what makes that guy special? I mean, all them guys are just names. I could give you 2 to 3, 4, 5 attributes that make them a special back.
And what makes you a special back?
I think just the ability to have vision. I think you calculate all the backs that are top guys. You look at what they do special. I look at myself. I watch myself on tape. I would say vision, very elusive. You know, a long distance guy. You know, and. And it's hard to tackle.
What's it like to be in the Hall of Fame, or at least your gear?
Oh, man, that's something special, something that my son could see and like and look up to, give him a challenge to make it there.
LeSean, what have you seen from Chip Kelly this season in terms of in-game and halftime adjustments to get you guys going in the third quarter?
Well, Chip's always, he's always fired up, for one, and he's always talking about finishing. You know, I think we had a little trouble in a couple of games of finishing games. Out and that's the thickest thing. This second half, just kind of let's finish the games out. You know, let's do all the right things to close this game. You know, and keep fighting, keep battling.
You mentioned that you didn't quite get to meet Steve Van Buren.
Yeah.
You're chasing Wilbert Montgomery's record here. Have you had much interaction with him?
Yes. Actually, a close friend of mine's, my coach from high school, is very tight with him. And I've had a chance to meet him, Paul Kreider. I'm giving a little props. I like that. But yeah, just I met him and he's a cool guy. Knows tons about football and that would be something big to kind of break his record.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, I forgot. You can put this in your notepad.
Yeah.
Running routes and catching the ball. Put that in my arsenal.
Advantage could it be if perhaps you don't face their top two running backs, which could be a possibility, both are banged up?
We still have to go out and, you know, play solid football. You know, we still have to play our defense the way we know how to play it, and you know, they still have very, you know, I feel like they have a good offensive line, good fullback, good guys who can block well. Still have a guy who's capable of running the ball, so we still have to do our job.
I know you don't watch the press conferences, but after the Denver game, Bill Davis came forward and said, trust me, this is going to be a good defense. And since then, you guys are the only team to keep opponents to 21 points or fewer in each game. Mm-hmm. What has happened since then that we didn't see in those first four games?
I think overall, just an understanding of the scheme. I think we really do a lot better job of communicating amongst ourselves as players. And guys don't try to do too much, you know. And we play really good in the red zone. We're finding a way to get a lot more turnovers than we were at that point in time, and that's really helping us defensive-wise.
Whether Peterson plays or not, there's a lot of focus this week on LeSean and Peterson. What makes a great running back in your view? You've seen a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, I think what makes a great running back is, you know, first of all, he has to have great vision. You know, a guy who can, you know, see things before they happen. A guy who has good vision. Guy who's, I say quick, doesn't have to be that fast, but a quick guy makes really good decisions, and a guy who can run through arm tackles. A very good running back doesn't go down with just one guy hits him. He finds a way to shake off that first defender and get extra yards after the first contact.
You played with Foster in Houston. Is he like McCoy at all, or is he different?
He's different to me. Foster is a one-cut guy. You know, he runs a lot of the zone plays where – you know, it's just he lets the offensive line get out in front. He's like a one-cut downhill runner, whereas, Shady is a very, very shifty guy. He has so many moves. It's really hard for people to tackle him. You never see hardly ever one person taking Shady down. So that's what makes Shady very special.
When you look at their film, what's the first thing that jumps out at you?
How much they are committed to running the ball. That really jumps out to me. I feel like they have some good receivers who are also playmakers they can get the ball to, but they're very committed to running the ball. And you know they're running it. They know we're running it. So it's just like they're going to line up and just big boy. You push you out of the way and run the ball right at you. So it's kind of like an old school smash mouth football that, you know, we really have to prepare for. Just come downhill and it's going to be a physical game.
You don't think that would change much at all with AP or Toby?
I'm not sure. We're ready for the run game because that's what they've relied on, you know, for so much. But, you know, we see that they also like to spread it out on third down and throw the ball.
Patterson is a big playmaker for them. Is he a guy that you really have spent a lot of time?
We definitely have eyes on him. You know, he's a big-time playmaker for them. They get him the ball a lot of different ways. They may go to more running plays with him, you know, just – pitching him the ball on a jet sweep, plays like that. So we are very conscious of that.
How do you guys avoid not having a letdown? I mean, the Vikings aren't a very good football team record-wise, and you guys have some big games coming up. How do you avoid just staying on these guys and not underestimating them or anything like that?
Because we watch the film. We see these guys work and play, the way they play ball, they play really hard. It's not like they're just getting blown out of games. They're in most of the games they played in, they just lost it there at the end. So it's not just gonna be an easy game that we can just throw in our bag. We gotta go out and work for it just like every other one.
Getting back to the way the defense is playing, did you see this coming in those first four games? Did you see the type of production that you'd have down the line?
Oh man, I always had in my mindset that, you know, we had to be a good defense. We had good personnel, good guys, capable of playing good football. So it was just a matter of bringing it all together. Yeah, it just took a while for everybody to come together. We were learning new techniques up front, and linebackers, everybody was learning some different things. So it just took a little time for all of it to gel together.
And then when did it click?
A couple games when we started really, you know, not giving up as many touchdowns. I can't remember the first game, but
the Giants game is the first game.
Maybe Giants game when, you know, we started to get more turnovers, not give up the big plays, the touchdowns. That's when it started to click. And then we said, we can just hold where we are right here and continue to build off of this defense and get better from there, and we'll be good.
I don't know if you heard Redskins benched RG3 for the rest of the year.
Okay.
You faced him two times last year, healthy. Two times this year, maybe not so much. A move like that kind of surprised you because they say he is healthy, but what did you see when you faced him?
I felt like he was healthy, and I feel like we did a really good job preparing for those guys. And yeah, we played we had a really good game plan going into that game. We took away some things that they really wanted, you know, definitely in their passing game, and we kind of knew where their runs were going. So I think we really had Coach Davis kind of really great game plan against those guys.
D'Amico, you talked about looking at the film of the Vikings, and despite the record, how good they are. Is it an example in this league, and you guys have been the opposite, that the narrow victory is so close? You have so many teams like them, like you, that one play makes a difference late in the game.
Yeah, that's the thing about playing in the NFL. There's no such thing as just a sorry team. Anybody can get beat on any given Sunday. And that's the beauty of the league. You have great players on every team. But as soon as you have a mental, you know, letdown, and you think, you know, a team is just gonna lay down and let you get a win, that's when you end up getting beat. So you have to go in.
All right, that's D'Amico Ryans as well as LeSean McCoy. Eagles getting ready for Matt Cassel and the Minnesota Vikings. All right, we're going to wrap up our show today by thanking everyone who follows at Eagles Shows on Twitter. And every time we hit the 1,000 follower threshold, we will give away a piece of autographed merchandise. So we have surpassed 2,000 followers, and we've got a gift to give away. Look at this beautiful LeSean McCoy autographed mini helmet. Now, we were going to try to make it look like a real helmet, big full-size helmet, but that obviously doesn't work. But it is Very cool. Very sweet. And it goes to, drumroll please, at Bradley Danieluk. So, Bradley, thank you for following us at Eagle Shows on Twitter. We'll be in touch. And you are now in possession of this LeSean McCoy autographed mini helmet. Congratulations. We are at 2,100 followers. Let's get to 3,000 quickly. We've got more merchandise to give away. We thank you for joining us today on Eagles Live. Stay tuned with us throughout the day. We've got the very latest from the NovaCare Complex. And tomorrow, Chip Kelly's final media address and our final Eagles Live show of the week. And Nick Foles, the cover boy of this week's Sports Illustrated, the regional edition, will meet the media as well after practice. So thanks for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.